Let's do a recap. The law is not given, was not given to mankind as a direction to follow God. The law was given specifically to the Israelites as to a direction to follow God. Direction and instruction. It was not given to the Gentiles. That's fact one. Fact two, the Gentiles are the nations, the ethnos, right? They are outside the promises of God, therefore, they were outside of the commandments of God. And this shows particularly, again, it emphasizes the fact that the law was given only to Israel. So, in that way, Israel had an advantage over the world. Now, what is that advantage? And let's talk about this from the scripture. If the law had been given to the world, Israel would have no advantage. Is this true or not true? Somebody tell me. If the law had not been given to the world, then Israel would have no advantage. Now, we're talking about things were before Jesus came, right? But we're talking about the truth of the matter. If the law had been given to the Gentiles as well, then Israel would have no advantage. Is this true or not true? Somebody tell me. It is true. All right, let's prove the point. Let's look at Romans, all right, chapter 2. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 3. What advantage has the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, because chiefly unto them were committed the oracles of God. Can you see that? What does that tell you? Was the law given to the whole world, or was it only given to the Jews? So, here we have a whole brand new thing, don't we? Can y'all see this? We have a whole brand new thing to consider. Did God ever expect the Gentiles to follow the law? Did God ever expect the Gentiles to follow the law? No, He didn't give it to the Gentiles. He gave it only to Jacob. All right, when the law came, who was in bondage and who was released through it? Jacob, right? Which later became known as Israel. Now, you've got to understand this. Israel is not just Abraham's sons. Abraham had more sons than Isaac. And Isaac had more sons than Jacob, right? The law is not given to Enoch, and the law is not given to Ishmael. So law is given to more than just the children of Abraham. They are, you know, all the Jews are children of Abraham, but by virtue of Jacob. And Jacob is the one who is known as Israel. So therefore the law was only given to Israel. Not all Abraham's sons. Not all of Isaac's sons. You know, Esau's not included in that, is he? Teman wasn't given the law, was it? The law was given particularly to Jacob. Because of the 12 tribes that were in bondage in Egypt when Moses went to free them were only the children of Jacob. Do you see that? Now, this is an important point. Somebody tell me why this is an important point. That the law was only given to the children of Jacob. The law was given to only the tribes of Jacob. It is Jacob whose name was changed to Israel. Therefore, the law was only given to Israel. The chosen people through Abraham is Jacob. That's the point, isn't it? The chosen people through Abraham, that came from Abraham's loins, are Jacob. Right? They're not Esau. They're not Ishmael. The chosen people that came through Isaac, Abraham's chosen son, are Jacob, not Esau. Being a child of Abraham doesn't mean you were given the law. Being a child of Jacob means you were given the law. Now, why this distinction? Why is this important? This is where you get the symbolic understanding of what 12 is. How many of you can see that? This has very much to do with why Jesus had 12 disciples. This is an important point here. I mean, let's just look at it, you know, from a physical point of view as well. Where did the first time 12 come into play? As far as having meaning for the people of God. Only through the 12 sons of Jacob, right? That's where 12 became a matter of importance. When you go through the whole of the Bible up to that point, that's where 12 became a matter of importance. Right? And all the symbolism having to do with 12 proceeds from that point. Is this true or not true? Okay, when we're talking to who the law was given to, this is important. First, the law was not given as instructions to the world, or not even to all the children of Abraham. The law was given specifically to the children of Jacob, who proceeded from Isaac, who proceeded from Abraham. The law was not given to Esau, was it? Or his children, Edom, Teman. The law was not given to Ishmael or his children, right? Even though they're children of Abraham and Isaac, right? The law was given specifically only to the children of Jacob, the 12 tribes in Egypt. That's who Moses was sent to. And it is Jacob who became known as Israel, and therefore his children are known as the children of Israel. They are the Israelites. The law was only given to the Israelites. No one else in the world. That's an important point. This is also an important point. This is the first time in the Bible where 12 has a prominence. The number 12 has a prominence. It is from this point on that 12 carries a meaning through the rest of Scripture. This is the reason Jesus had 12 disciples. Why? Because it represents Israel and their salvation. It represents the remnant. Now, this is an important point. All of the 12 disciples of Jesus were Israelites, but more importantly, they were of Judah, weren't they? They were Jews. All 12 of them were Jews. There wasn't anybody there from the tribe of Dan or Reuben or any of them. They were all Jews. Judah, those of Judah and Benjamin, which are considered Jews, right? Well, that is a picture of the remnant. Those 12 apostles are picturing the remnant of Israel. And therefore, you can see how this carries over to the 144,000, a picture of the remnant of Israel, the first fruits of Israel, a remnant. But let's stop on that point. I don't want to get lost on the main point of what we're talking about, is the law was only given to Israel, not to the world. And we showed you from chapter 3, starting in verse 1, that the law was not given to the nations. It was not given to all the children of Abraham. Only the ones who came through Jacob. The law was only given to those children of Abraham. So what advantage has the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. So only the Jews were, only those of the Israelites were committed the oracles of God. That means nobody else in the world. That means that God did not expect Gentiles to live as Jews, did he? God did not expect God did not give Jews the law. I mean, those who were not Jews, the law. Now, this is an important point, because what does this mean? There are no Gentiles at this point who will be judged by the law. There are no Gentiles at this point who will be judged by the law. All men only come under God's judgment. Why? This is important. All men become under God's judgment of the law only through Jesus. Now, so you've got to understand okay, ask this again. The law over Israel, you know, we've sorted out some amazing things here, guys. So that the law over Israel have a physical dominion or a spiritual? It had a physical. Why? Why was it a physical dominion? What is it that it demanded of the Jews? Death to the body, right? In other words, the law itself, the Torah, could be satisfied merely by you dying, right? In the body, right? Ooh. Now notice something else. The fact is, the whole world was under a penalty of death, but not by law, by eventuality. Death was the outcome for all men, regardless of whether the law was given or not. Right? All men were still going to die. So you can see that the law was given to us to show us that sin ends in death. It was demonstrated through Israel, and that's why it was only given to Israel. It's a demonstration to the world that sin is a nature that ends in death. And it was demonstrated through the acts of sin being punished with death in the body. Let me say that again. The law demonstrates that sin causes death in all men, that sin is a nature. It's a nature of corruption. The law demonstrates this. It was demonstrated through Israel breaking commands that showed that they were corrupt, and that gave them a penalty of death, that which is the only thing that could satisfy the law. Can you see that? See, there's a natural flow there, isn't there, to understanding. But the law itself, and this is where you've got to understand, the law for us is the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about it. Okay? The law for all mankind that only comes to revelation through Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And let's explain why. First of all, the mystery of the spiritual is only revealed through Jesus. Is this true or not true? Everything that was required of Israel was physical and carnal. Right? Their obedience was to be demonstrated physically. Right? It was to be mixed with faith in order to be spiritual. But they didn't mix it with faith, did they? They walked by the letter of the law, and the letter of the law kills all people. In other words, the point of this is, if you try to please God in the flesh, you won't be able to. That's why the letter of the law kills. If you try to please God according to the flesh, you won't be able to. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It never could. So trying to fulfill the law yourself was a death sentence automatic. It was to show you couldn't please God in the flesh, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It is spirit. And God is a spirit. And as Jesus told us, He seeks those who will worship in spirit and in truth. No one could ever please God by keeping the law, because no flesh can stand justified before the law. The law demands the death of all men of flesh. And anyone who would acknowledge the law is God's truth must acknowledge their need to die. That's the guilt of sin. That's why in receiving Jesus, you have to acknowledge the law is true, right? Now, this needs to be sorted out, and it's needed to be sorted out for centuries now, because men have forgotten. This is why there's so many different teachings about the law and grace, because men have forgotten these things. If they ever knew them, these generations never knew them. The generation we live in today never knew these distinctions. They never understood these distinctions. The law only becomes prominent, right, if you are to receive Jesus as the payment for it. You must acknowledge your guilt in order to do that. You must acknowledge you are a sinner. And it's only by the law that you can see you are. And that's whether Jew or Gentile. So in a way, isn't it true that everyone who would become a Christian must become a Jew? And that becoming a Jew isn't keeping the things of Torah, it's acknowledging the things of Torah judge you. That your flesh must die. See, it isn't ever keeping Torah, because nobody by keeping it could be justified. But by acknowledging your guilt according to it, then you can find justification in the sacrifice offered by the law, which is Christ. How many of you see the importance of these distinctions now? Israel was an example. Right? The real convicting influence of the law is spiritual. And that's why the Holy Spirit is the law. He is the law of the Spirit of life. And He convicts the whole world according to sin, where the law only could convict the Jews carnally. But that law becoming spiritual, when it becomes a matter of the heart, you must acknowledge God's law in order to receive Jesus as your sacrifice, right? So you must spiritually become a Jew, one who is under law, in order to receive Jesus, right? But not by anything outward you did, but by something inward you accepted as true. See it? Can you see that? How many of you see that? You must become a Jew before you can be a Christian. And that is an inward thing. A Jew is one who is under the law. Isn't it true that every one of us, in order to receive Jesus, must acknowledge we are sinners? What is that acknowledgement? It is that you're under law. You're right. And so if you're one who acknowledges the law, you are a Jew. If you're one who acknowledges the law before you receive the sacrifice the law offers, you are a Jew. You are an Israelite. Can you see that truth? Isn't that awesome? All right. So when we want to talk about these things that the law demanded of us physically, and so that we can see where the law of the Spirit of life demands them of us according to the Spirit. And this is what will, you know, where the proof will be in the pudding, so to speak. When we look in John 16, and I want you to hear this. We've talked about this a little bit before. All right, let me get the verse here. Da, 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 da. All right, Jesus tells us this. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, right, the Spirit of truth, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world, not just Israel, not just those Jewish disciples Jesus was talking to. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, let's look at the law where it pictures this. Doesn't the law reprove you of sin? By labeling your actions as transgressions of the law, it reproves you of sin, right? by laying down a standard of what God demands of mankind, it reproves you also of righteousness. Right? And by adding a penalty to sin of death, it gives you judgment. So in the law, we can see that it reproves the Israelites of sin, righteousness, and judgment, right? The physical law. Can you, everybody see that? Israel, given the physical law, the law of written in stone, it reproved them of sin by identifying their sinful nature through what they did, right? Of righteousness by showing what God demanded of a perfect man, and of judgment for all those who failed to meet that standard, right? The law did all those things. But now, that they only did it for the Jews. But the Holy Spirit has come to do that for the whole world. The revelation of the Spirit came through Jesus to where this law became living. It became spiritual. Everything was transmuted from physical to spiritual through Jesus. Jesus is the revelation of the spiritual. And I want to show you two things that show that this is true. All right? First, in Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about this revelation that we're given. All right, first of all, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Jesus is the revelation of the spiritual to us. And it tells us about this mystery. All right? Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things, not just Jews, but Gentiles too, all things in Christ, both in heaven which are on earth, even in him. And by saying not just the Jews, but Gentiles too, it means all things. By saying not just the physical things, but the spiritual things as well, to bring in all things which are on earth, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. You see that? You see the comparison where the law given to the Jews was about earthly things, physical. But Jesus is the revelation of the spiritual to where all things are gathered, both physically and spiritually. And that's redemption of the body and the spirit, isn't it? Jesus is the revelation of the spiritual. And therefore, now, we who are not under the law, but under grace, as it tells us in Romans chapter 8. Let me go there. Verse 1, there is there now no condemnation of the law, death, which for those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, which is dead, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. See, when you acknowledge you were a Jew and under the carnal death law, right? Jesus came and made you free from that law, didn't he? The revelation of the Spirit, right? So you tell me, what is the law of the Spirit of life? What is the law of the Spirit of life that's being talked about here? What is that law? Notice that the S is capital. What is the law of the Spirit of life? The law of the Spirit of life is the Holy Ghost, which you have received through the sacrifice of Christ. And therefore now the law, through the Spirit, has become universal. It's not just a physical law for Jews in figure. Now it's the actual law of all things. And it's not just a law that was meant to convict the Israelites of their need for a Savior. But now it's the Holy Spirit convicting all men of their need for a Savior and a sacrifice. Can y'all see that? How many of you get where we're going with this? The Holy Ghost is the law of life. He is the law of life. And it's by that law that all men are convicted of their need for Jesus. Poured out on all flesh, right? It becomes spiritual, doesn't it? The revelation, the mystery of his will is revealed through Jesus. We were blessed now in the spiritual realms, the heavenly realms, not just fleshly. And so we don't receive just the, you know, these fleshly blessings of Abraham. we receive the true blessings of Abraham, which are eternal. They only demonstrated in the Jews. But now we have the reality of what was demonstrated to them. So you see all of those people who are still trying to walk according to Torah, they're not walking according to the Spirit. They're walking according to the flesh. Ooh. They're walking still in the figure and not in the reality. Those who are trying to keep a Sabbath, they're still walking according to the picture of the Sabbath that is now revealed in clarity by the true law of life. Right? The fact that you have died with Christ, so you're at rest. Those who are trying to be circumcised in the flesh have missed the whole point that their heart is now circumcised through Christ. They're still walking according to the flesh, aren't they? And anyone who walks according to the flesh will die. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you see the clarity there about the law and grace now? It all has to do with the revelation of the spiritual and the law becoming universal through the Spirit. Not just a demonstration, but now the reality of life. That's a good place to stop for now.